Airbnb.
I hosted on Airbnb 9 years ago for the first time, but I'm doing it again this year because I got a trip to France in the summer and a trip to the tropics over Christmas.
All right, Jack, besides those humble brags, both of those trips, what are you going to do with your place, man? What are you doing with it?
For both of those trips, I'm putting my place on Airbnb.
Because now there's an obvious benefit to hosting on Airbnb. It's financial.
I'm putting the money from my Airbnb revenue towards my plane tickets for both of those flights.
All right, so it's incredible. Instead of your place just sitting empty while you're on vacation, you're going to earn a little extra money while you're away. It's a win-win.
Truly. And setting my schedule as a host on Airbnb is so convenient. Airbnb has easy-to-use features that allow me to update my calendar, so I host exactly when I want to host.
Yeah, Eddie's, if you live somewhere you already have an Airbnb, Airbnb it.
Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. This podcast is supported by FedEx.
FedEx offers picture proof of delivery, packageless and paperless returns, as well as weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. on Saturday and 50% on Sunday.
See the FedEx service guide for delivery information.
FedEx Ground service is also faster to more locations than UPS Ground. See what FedEx can do for your business.
Absolutely. Positively. FedEx. Sponsorship for this show comes from SoFi Invest. Alternative investments are now available on SoFi. Unlock the potential to build and protect your wealth with alts, including real estate, venture capital, pre-IPO unicorns, and more at SoFi.com/tboy.
Alternative investment funds have unique risks, including the risk of loss, may charge high fees, can be illiquid, and aren't suitable for all investors. Investors should carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, expenses, and important information contained in a fund's prospectus prior to investing. SoFi Securities LLC, member FINRA, SIPC.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And this is Snacks Daily. It is Thursday, July 23rd.
I'll tell you, Wall Street must be on vacation or something.
Easy. This feels like August 2019, Jack.
It's a pretty slow week. Markets barely budged again yesterday.
This time last year, half of Wall Street was in the Hamptons. This time, this year, 100% of Wall Street is in the Hamptons.
Let's get right to our story, though, because this is the best one yet.
TBOY, first story. Jack, what do we got?
The Trump administration just made a reservation for 100 million COVID vaccine doses.
It's an Uber Eats pre-order that went to Pfizer and cost us a cool $1.95 billion with a B dollars.
For our second story, Spotify is sick of being in a one-sided relationship with the three giant record labels.
So it just launched a two-sided market, finally making the labels pay them.
I had a dream that the hamburgers were eating me.
Third and final story, what do we got?
Misfits just raised $85 million as the latest startup finding buyers of misshapen and ugly but perfectly healthy fruits and vegetables.
It's the good kind of fat. We all love a Charlie Brown Christmas tree. Misfits loves a Charlie Brown peach.
But before we hit those stories, Snackers, we have an update on the sharing economy.
Yeah, Jack and I were looking at this, and you can tell how close we're getting to peak sharing economy by looking at how intimate the things are that we're actually sharing via tech.
First, we started sharing our back seats with Uber and Lyft, which, like, isn't that big a deal.
Not bad. You're not going to get, like, lice from that situation. It's totally kosher.
But then with Airbnb, we started sharing our homes, and it's like, whoa. He can check out my underwear drawer?
Is that Brad? Who's walking through the pantry right now? Can I be in my boxers? Is this okay?
But now we've reached a new threshold. It's swimming pools. Yeah. The company that just launched called Swimply.
Swimply, new startup from $15 to $300. They connect you with a pool someone else is not swimming in right now.
The company is called Swimply, which we think is a combo of swim and simply. But it's really hard to say.
It looks better than it sounds. And they're letting you book water by the hour. That's how this breaks down.
It's a simple concept. The owner of the swimming pool stays in their kitchen and accepts your money.
Yeah.
In exchange, you get like an hour of freedom to jump into that 1,000 gallon of chlorinated water.
Nothing gets the eyes red like a good pound of chlorine. Now for $60 an hour, Jack and I jumped in snack style. You can go to Campbell, California, and they've got a putting green next to the swimming pool. Seems like a good deal.
And if you're feeling fancy, you can upscale to $100 an hour for a mid-century modern design pool in San Jose, California.
Jack.
Apparently, they're only available in the South Peninsula.
I knew you were going to pick that one, getting West Elm vibes over here. Nothing Jack likes more than cast iron mid-modern.
Now, this company is reportedly had 2,000% growth since it launched 2 years ago, which I think means it had like 3 bookings its first year and 25 bookings this year.
We didn't check the financials, but we're going to round up on that. And we're curious about what changed to cause that inflection point. It was actually this specific line from the Centers for Disease Control, the CDC.
Picture Dr. Fauci saying this and picture the founders of Swimply just smiling.
In a bikini.
Currently, there is no evidence that COVID-19 can spread to people through recreational water.
Make that a tankini. FYI, snackers, it's BYO Swan Pool Toy if you want to jump into a Swimply.
Let's jump into our stories.
You're tuned into Snacks Daily. We spoke to the lawyers and we got to get something legal out the way. The snacks about the hair ain't food, it's ear candy. They don't reflect the views of the Robin Hood family. It's all informational, just so you know. We're not recommending any securities.
Nope.
It's not a research report or investment advice. Not an offer or sale of a security.
Right.
Snacks is digestible. Business news for you. Robin Hood Financial, LLC. Member FINRA /SIPC.
For our first story, Jack, left arm or right arm? I can't see your veins. You got to work with me here. Pfizer and German biotech company just got $2 billion from the U.S. government to make a wonderful vaccine.
Nick, you're just going to feel a little pinch and then it's going to be over.
Is this in the knee? What's going on here? Is that my thigh? We have to get that thing checked out.
Nick, this is the largest horse in the U.S. race to crush COVID with a vaccine.
Snackers, we're talking about like basically the biggest pre-order situation ever.
The USA just threw 100 million doses of a COVID vaccine into the shopping cart.
And they're not abandoning this thing.
You hear pre-order, you probably think like Tesla's Cybertruck that'll be out in 5 years for $100.
Everyone's got a buddy who did it.
This is 100 million syringes or 100 million pills. I'm not sure how it works, actually.
The U.S. also made a reservation to buy 500 million more doses of this vaccine if we even need it.
Now, we're talking about a COVID vaccine candidate. This thing isn't definitely going to work, but it might work.
And it's being jointly developed by Pfizer, the big U.S. pharmaceutical company, and Germany's biotech leader, BioNTech.
It's called BioNTech, I think. Straightforward name. With a little twist.
Sticks with our theme of like pharmaceutical companies that must have a Z, an X, or a V in the name in order to be taken seriously.
Now, this vaccine candidate has shown promising preliminary results. And if successful, it could be authorized for emergency use as early as October.
October, we're talking a goal here of 1.3 billion doses by the end of 2021.
So it's a mass production situation, and shares of Pfizer and BioNTech both jumped about 4% after the news of $2 billion pre-order.
But this insanely large order is actually part of a way bigger plan called Operation Warp Speed.
That is the federal government's plan to accelerate the development of a COVID vaccine so we can all get back to normal.
Yeah, because they typically go through like years and years of work. You got to do trial one, test B, section C, then you got to do the thing with like the lab report. You got to have a hypothesis. You need all these things, an abstract.
And that like robust scientific process isn't going to cut it this time. For context, Nick, the Ebola vaccine just got approved. So Kennedy had like a race to get to the moon. We have a race to develop this pill.
And the federal government, as part of that race, is basically acting like a venture capital firm.
Betting on 10 different projects and just hoping that one of them pays off big.
So Jack and I decided to whip up what this portfolio of venture capital from the government really looks like right now.
All right, Novavax is a company that has $1.6 billion from the government to work on this.
AstraZeneca just got $1.2 billion to work with.
Moderna, a company based in Cambridge, Mass that is obsessed with RNA, they got $486 million from the government.
Johnson & Johnson got $500 million. And again, there were like 6 Z's and X's in everything we just said.
You get a billion. You get a billion. You get a billion.
You look under your chair, you're getting an Oprah situation. So Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies over at Pfizer and the rest of the pharmaceuticals?
Making this vaccine is hard, but ethically giving it out to the world will be even harder.
Snackers, the sequel to Operation Warp Speed should be Operation Divvy Divvy Divvy.
That's because once we've developed the vaccine, how are we going to divvy it out to the world's 7 billion people? And how much are we going to charge for it?
And where does the word divvy come from? Now, it's unclear whether rich countries are going to get it first.
Probably, most likely.
Or if those most in need are going to end up getting it.
Unlikely, but that might be the right thing to do.
But interestingly, some of these pharmaceutical companies are actually treating this like it's their duty to mankind.
Pfizer, if you do the math, it's very simple math. $2 billion divided by 100 million pills. Pfizer is charging just $20 a dose,
yeah,
which is the same as like the standard off-the-shelf flu vaccine they do every fall.
Like a $2 margarita pizza. It's the simple, straightforward only thing they're serving. They're going to break even on this price.
Right. Pfizer's kind of seeing this as their duty to mankind. But others are banking on this product being their like one and only once in a generation profit puppy, baby.
Moderna's like, we're not UNICEF. There is no way we're pricing this at cost. We're making some money off this thing.
Yeah. We don't know what they're going to charge, but we know it's going to be a lot.
It's not just that the US is spending billions to secure doses. Other countries are doing it too. For our second story, Spotify is getting a lot of podcast love lately.
And the stock just jumped 5%, not because of podcasts.
No.
But because of an ambitious move on its music side.
On the music, Jack, we got to send an edible arrangement over to our buddies at Spotify.
Well, they did just sign a deal with the world's largest record company.
Yes.
Universal Music Group.
We're talking about the company that represents Rihanna, Taylor Swift, the Jonas Brothers, and One Direction, even though those last two are the same thing.
They are the same thing. Now, Wikipedia actually lists 992 famous musicians on the Universal Music Group roster.
Gotta hit that four-digit number. Now, normally, Spotify pays the record label for the right to stream their music. That's how the business model works.
But now, with this deal, the record label will also pay Spotify.
And that's because Spotify has spent two epic years negotiating this brand new deal to turn from a one-sided marketplace into a two-sided marketplace.
Somebody in the Spotify legal department is getting a bonus, Nick, because they just doubled the sides of this contract.
In a one-sided marketplace, you stream like Andrea Bocelli's angelic voice, and Spotify has to then pay Universal Music because you just listen to Bocelli.
Right. Universal Music owns Andrea Bocelli's music. So of course they should get a tiny piece of the $10 a month Spotify's getting because they're really getting Universal Music's property.
And Snackers, that's why Spotify isn't consistently profitable because it has to pay so much of its revenues to the labels while you're crushing on Bocelli.
But now the industry has changed. Half of music revenues come from music streaming and Spotify controls 40% of music streaming revenues according to Universal Music Group's IPO paperwork.
You add all that up and that means Spotify's got itself the old L, the leverage.
So it's pushing the music labels to finally start paying Spotify, aka a two-sided market. We prefer just two-sided relationship, by the way.
That's true. It's true. They went with market because it sounds more technical. They're really trying to get in a business school case study right now.
Yeah, it's kind of an I'll pay you if you pay me situation that Spotify's trying to achieve.
It's like when you say to your friend's dad, hi, Jerry, and he's like, it's Mr. Thompson to you.
That'd be a one-sided market. Now, here is Spotify's two-sided market pitch. Basically, we know more about music than Facebook does.
Yeah, they're like, don't promo your new record on Facebook or Instagram. Use Spotify's unique marketing data and analytics service to make the launch of your single a success.
For instance, say Taylor Swift and Rihanna both had breakups and they both want to do a duet about breakups. Spotify can send a push notification to all of its users who like songs on Spotify about breakups. And then you're like guaranteed that that launch will be a success.
If you're listening to like a rainy day playlist, you're probably going to get this duet.
The CEO, Daniel Ek, sums it up nicely. This is more effective than marketing dollars.
Being in the right spot on the Spotify app is more effective than splurging money on ads.
In other words, Zuck can't touch what I've got in the Spotify app.
And what Zuck can't touch, Zuck can't Zuck. So Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies over at Spotify?
Spotify is not embraced as a true tech company because of one thing. It's marginal cost problem.
Marginal cost. Snackers, every time you see a Google ad for like dandruff shampoo, that didn't really cost Google anything.
No, most of Google's new revenue it gets every day becomes straight up profit because it didn't cost anything for you to see that Google ad.
Yeah, that's why tech's so profitable. Hardly any marginal cost comes with each new customer.
Now, Spotify is a tech company, but it pays out most of its revenue, and it has to pay more and more to the record labels for each and every song that you stream on Spotify.
If Spotify can counter those costs that come with like every single stream of your Moody playlist with a new revenue source,
then maybe the tech familia will finally accept Spotify as one of their own.
For our third and final story, Misfits just snagged $85 million in fresh venture capital funding.
This is by far the biggest investment into ugly fruits and ugly vegetables that we have ever seen.
Snackers, we're talking about the Philadelphia-based two-year-old grocery service that sends you boxes of unwanted food.
It's a subscription box, and you can get it weekly or every other week.
$22 gets you a box with 10 to 12 pounds of fruits and veggies that just they aren't in the best shape of their lives.
Yeah, they're not just any fruits and vegetables. They are misfit
fruits and vegetables.
We're talking like carrots that are channeling an alien vibe.
It's going to startle you when you open up the box because that potato has a third limb.
Yeah.
Looks like Mr. Potato Head on rabies.
This is basically the Statue of Liberty of vegetables. They're like, give us your broken, your rotten, and your kind of purple.
The thing is, Nick, the food is ugly and it's imperfect, but it's perfectly good. Like if you cut up those carrots and put it in a salad, no one's going to know that it like wasn't shaped like a normal carrot rod.
Yeah, and no one's judging you. And because of that, and because apparently retailers don't like to sell this, they're able to secure the food at like 25 to 40% off the wholesale price.
That's their claim. And our claim is you'll feel really good about yourself because the food's not going to the landfill like it will end up otherwise.
Yeah, like Jack and I are picturing the ideal customer of Misfits, and they probably recently adopted some kind of like a third generation rescue mutt.
Just like it feels good to rescue a puppy, it feels good to rescue a carrot that was going to the dumpster.
But now the company is making an interesting pivot from just fresh produce to packaged goods.
We just read that they acquired a pallet with 50,000 perfectly good olive oil bottles, except the label was on backwards, so like Walmart didn't want it.
So the fascinating question Jack and I think they're facing right now, can Misfits go from a supplement product to a core product?
Right now, customers of Misfits, they get a box of fruits and veggies, but let's be honest, you need to go to the grocery store to get everything else. You're not just a pure veggie vegetarian here.
What Misfits needs to do is become the core grocery order for when you're ordering groceries every week, not the supplemental one.
And to do that, Misfits just needs to offer more and offer a little more flexibility than just a one-size-fits-all box with 10 to 12 pounds of ugly fruit.
It needs a long-term, consistent customer, and it can do that if it can grow beyond just this produce to the packaged goods.
Otherwise, you might get one or two boxes of this stuff and then be like, this is annoying. I still have to go to the grocery store. This isn't saving me any time.
That's a really good imitation of like an annoyed voice. So Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies over at Misfits?
Opportunities are born out of market inefficiencies.
Snackers, Misfits says that a whopping 40% of American produce is never eaten just because of cosmetic issues.
The problem isn't that no one has ever wanted like ugly, broken eggplants. It's just that there's never been a place to go to buy broken eggplants.
And these market inefficiencies that Misfit identifies, they aren't unique to food. It's the same concept that drives everything behind the sharing economy.
There is a sharing economy, finally, for sharing your car and for sharing your home.
Imagine if there was a DVD sharing company in the 2000s. Blockbuster would have gone out of biz, but there was no market.
If there was a company called Air DVD,
just saying,
you know, I wouldn't need ET, my neighbor wouldn't need ET, my neighbor across the street wouldn't need ET. We could just share the one ET.
And Jack wouldn't have to use his annoyed voice. So one business's market inefficiency is another business's business. Jack, can you whip up the takeaways for us over there?
Pfizer just got $2 billion of fresh cash to make that dang vaccine.
Even though it's selling it at a not profitable price, the stock rose.
Yeah, why did the stock rise?
It's just one of those things.
I think they'll get really good PR if they like save the world.
They're not UNICEF.
For our second story, Spotify can make your album famous with the right placement in the Spotify app.
So it's charging record labels for all that good stuff.
Third and final story, Misfits is trying to reduce food waste and save you money.
Because market inefficiencies are major opportunities. Now time for our snack fact of the day. This one's sent in by Pete in lovely Seattle, Washington.
The Netherlands, aka Die Niederlande, already eliminated pennies and 2 cent coins from circulation.
Yeah, they're not happening. And in fact, if your transaction involves something that would require one of those coins, they just round up to the nearest 5 cents.
They actually round down if it's like 0.02 and they round up if it's 3. And I'm wondering, is this like a net gain or loss for like the government?
The answer is you always round up.
Now, before we go, congratulations, Lucia from Auburndale, Mass, who just finished writing her first book about personal finance.
And happy birthday to Morgan White in lovely Cape Elizabeth, Maine.
And congrats to Tyler and Olivia Hoosman of Okoboji, Iowa, who just welcomed a new baby snacker, Holland Grace.
And happy 4-year anniversary to Alex and Brittany Rodolfi in Kenosha, Wisconsin.
Snackers, before we go, make sure to ask your buddies for us, HYHYSD.
Have you had your snacks daily? Spread it loud.
This is Jack. I own stock of Spotify, and we'll see you tomorrow.
If you know, you know.
The Robinhood Snacks podcast you just heard reflects the opinions of only the hosts who are associated persons of Robinhood Financial LLC and does not reflect the views of Robinhood Markets Inc. or any of its subsidiaries or affiliates. The podcast is for informational purposes only and is not intended to serve as a recommendation to buy or sell any security and is not an offer or sale of a security. The podcast is also not a research report and is not intended to serve as the basis of any investment decision. Robinhood Financial, LLC, member FINRA, SIPC.
If you like The Best One Yet, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
And before you go, tell us a little bit about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
We want to get to know you.
Behind every successful business is a story, and some of them might surprise you, like how Chobani's first yogurt factory was discovered on a piece of junk mail, or how the founder of the multi-million dollar cosmetics brand Drunk Elephant was told by everyone, including her own mother, that the name sounded like a dive bar. I'm Guy Raz, and on my show How I Built This, I talk to founders behind the world's biggest companies to learn the real stories of how they built them. In each episode, you'll hear entrepreneurs share moments of doubt and failure and talk about how they were able to overcome them on their way to the top. How I Built This is like a masterclass in innovation and creativity from the people who've done it all. Follow How I Built This wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to How I Built This early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus. For more deep dive and daily business content, listen to Wondery, the destination for business podcasts. With shows like How I Built This, Business Wars, and many more, Wondery means business.